you guys to do. We have 3 Chipotle, I believe, $10 gift cards and 2 $10 Starbucks gift cards. So what I need you to do is everybody needs to get your phone out, okay? Also, if you're a winner, you will get an H2O t-shirt. You can just go back to our welcome table back there, show the gift card that you won, and we'll find the right size. All right, so my phone number is going to pop up here on, and so if you want to get that ready, you can go ahead and, as a call, not a text, all right? We're gonna call. I don't want a million text messages from people, all right? So this is how this is going to work. I'm going to ask you some different questions from different topics, all right? I want to test your trivia knowledge, and as soon as the question pops up, and if you know the answer, you hit send. We're going to have a little conversation here to see if you actually know the right answer. And if you win, you will get a gift card, okay? So we have different subjects here. Also, if you win, you cannot win again. So stop calling me. Look at this. All right, so someone's already starting to call me. Boom, done. Not going to answer that one. All right, the first subject is history. Who is the 12th president of the United States of America? Calling. I already gave the instruction that you were calling me. Google it. We made these purposely hard. Oh, we got one. I got one coming in from Columbus. What up? Hello? Zachary Taylor is correct. Come on up here, man. Chipotle or Starbucks? Chipotle's that one. The one that says Chipotle. Well done, sir. All right, the next subject is sports. What year did the football quarterback Tom Brady win his first Super Bowl? Muncie, Indiana. Yo, yo. Incorrect. Ooh, I know this person. I won't say their name. Yo, yo. No, 2001 was already given. You guys are so close. Hold and accept from Lorraine. Oh, where was Lorraine? Hold on. Who was just calling from Lorraine? Akron, no. Where was Lorraine? Columbus, no. Lorraine, now oh, where are you, Lorraine? Hold on, I'm going to call the person from Lorraine. No, Cleveland. This is not working out as well as I thought it would. It's not 2001. Whatever the internet is giving you is incorrect. All right, let's just... Who was calling from Lorraine? What was it? Yeah. It's not 2004. Guys, come on. Can I call again? Next person to call. Yes. No, not 2003. You're all over it, guys. Next person. I'm not listening to voicemail. Cincinnati. Here we go, Cincinnati. 2002. Boom. Nailed it. Come on up here. We verified this before. So we got Chipotle or Starbucks? Chipotle. Oh, there we go. Just one. All right. Okay. Entertainment, everybody. Entertainment. What is Lady Gaga's real first name? What? Yes, sir. No, you're not interrupting me at all. Hello? My goodness. Yes, sir. Ma'am, who's calling me? Keep calling. We thought this would be more complicated if everybody was texting. This is way more complicated. Hello? It is Stephanie or Stefani. There we go. Chipotle or Starbucks? Starbucks, there we go. Okay, we got two more, everybody. All right, we're going to science. What is the name of this chemical compound? NH3. Voicemail. This is Ohio, USA. Hello? Ammonia, that is correct. Starbucks or Chipotle? Starbucks. Okay, we got a Chipotle left. All right. Because we are a church, we feel obligated to do a little biblical trivia. All right, here we go. How many times in the Bible does Jesus feed thousands of people with only a few fish and loaves of bread? Here we go. No calls are coming through yet. Ooh, Ithaca, New York. Here we go. It would not be five. It is less than five. Multiple calls from Columbus, Ohio. I don't know how this is going to work. That did not work. Keep calling. Keeps going to voicemail. Yeah, Verizon is going to shut down my phone. Anybody getting through? Voicemail. Oh, ooh, I know this person. Yes, sir. It is not three. I have a ton of voicemails. Okay, here we go. Yes, ma'am. Twice. It is twice. That is correct. Oh, man. Good job. All right. No more calling me. Good job. Well, I apologize that that did not work out as well as we had hoped. So I will get back to all of you, all of your voicemails that you guys just left me. All right. After the service. Every single one. All right? That's a guarantee. I will call you back, sir. Okay. All right. So there was a point to why we did that. All right? There was actually a point. Is it important that any of you have that knowledge? Was it really important that any of you had the knowledge of the trivia that we just did? None of that trivia, the knowledge that you had, is really all that important. It's just knowledge that you already either had in your brains currently, or you looked up, you Googled it, or you just heard the answer from somebody else. But in actuality, the trivia knowledge that we just went through really isn't all that important, other than some of you guys got gift cards and a new T-shirt. But for some reason, in our culture, and actually if we look throughout human history, knowledge has always been elevated really high. Like, intellect has been pumped up as this is something that is so valuable to us. And people that typically are smarter, people that have a higher intellect, a higher IQ, they tend to climb the social ladder a little faster, and they have more opportunity than others that don't. But I think something that has often gone unnoticed, and this isn't like a personal observation that I've made, but a lot of times things that have gone, or something that has gone unnoticed, is that none of the knowledge that we really have is all that valuable unless we know what to do with that knowledge. There needs to be some sort of action involved in the knowledge that we have. And when it goes from just being knowledge into an action, it actually turns into wisdom. It turns into wisdom. Knowledge and wisdom, they go hand in hand, but they actually contrast one another. And they're vastly different. They need to be put together, but if they're just separated and you have knowledge but no wisdom, and you have wisdom that doesn't really come from any factual, truthful knowledge, they really don't mix together very well. Because wisdom gives us action based on the knowledge we have. You know, in my life, I can think of a few different examples of where knowledge and wisdom has been contrasted, where they don't seem to line up very well, or there's an example of where they do line up really, really well. Over the past year, my co-pastor, Matt Pardee, he's really been drilling home this acronym of SPAM. And if any of you guys know what SPAM is, it's like this mystery meat that was sold for lots of years because it was really cheap during the Depression. People couldn't afford real meat, and so they bought this new stuff called SPAM, and they would make disgusting burgers out of it. I'm not even sure if you can actually buy this in the stores anymore. Maybe it's still there. But it's at your house, all right. Well done. But he came up with this acronym, SPAM, and I don't know if he made it up or where he got it, where he read it from, but he's been talking specifically to men about SPAM. He's been talking to men specifically about four different areas that can really trip them up in their life, that if they don't watch these carefully, I think these identify with women as well, but I think more specifically with men, that when you don't watch yourself in these different areas of sex, power, anger, and money, man, there's some devastating things can happen. The influence that you have can be unraveled. And this has come from the knowledge over the years where we've seen pastors that we know, that we're really close to, that where they struggle and they are going to these things in their ministry, and they can't end up continuing to be a pastor because they've given in to these four different areas. And so Matt has been constantly talking to a group of us about, you need to watch that you're not distorting sex, that you're not giving in to the temptation of the lie of what pornography and all this sexual temptation is trying to sell. He's talking to us about how we need to make sure that we're not abusing power, that in our leadership we have influence over other people, and that what would the people say that we're leading? Would they say that you're a dictator? Would they say that you lead with a heavy hand, and that when things go wrong, they know that they're going to hear about it from you? He talks to us about things like anger. Is anger more dominant in your life more than love, grace, and forgiveness? And this is the one that I keep coming back to personally. When I start thinking about how my life is going, when I start thinking about how my kids will not listen to me sometimes, I can see how anger builds up in me because I have expectations in my life, and when those expectations aren't met, I can feel that anger building up. And then he's been talking to us about money. Do we long and desire for more money? Do we desire for the comfort, or we think that our life is going to get better if we have more money? You know, the people that just won the Powerball, they're sharing $500 million apiece. Truth is, their life could get more comfortable. That's just a reality. They have $500 million in the bank. But is their life going to get better? If you talk to them 6 months to a year from now, are they going to say that their life is any better? Probably not. And as leaders and as people that are trying to follow God, are these the areas that we need to be looking at? There's wisdom in this. The wisdom that Matt has been given, there's guidance to it, but then there's also warning, like watch after these things. Okay, so wisdom has led me to action. Now compare that to a conversation I had with my dad when I was about 10 or 11, and he wanted to talk to me about sex. I think it was about 10 or 11. I think that's it. I remember going up to my parents' bedroom and him bringing out this book that was full of cartoon people. It was a really odd thing that was happening. And this book took you through on how babies were made and really just the physiological, like this is how sex works. And that was it. The end, like this is how it's done, son. And I don't think he used those words at the time. But looking back now on that conversation, and I'm not trying to dog my dad. I know for many of you, you've had that conversation with your parents. Maybe many of you are like, wow, no one told me anything about sex. I just have had to figure it out on my own. I've had to learn things. But my dad sat me down, and as I've thought about that, there was really no wisdom involved in it. It was just, this is how it works. This is what happens. There was no, why is this important? There was no, this is valuable because. There was nothing like that. And so I strictly went off of knowledge and was kind of left like, now what? Like, what happens from here? And I've been thinking through that even more recently because I'm going to have to start talking through with my son in the next year or two. And now I'm starting to picture there's probably going to be multiple conversations. I'm probably just not going to show him this cartoon book and say, good luck with that. But I remember that's how it was for me. There was really no wisdom involved. It was strictly knowledge. And I think sometimes it's because we're convinced that knowledge is enough to get us by. I think sometimes we're convinced that if we just know some things, we're going to be able to get by in life with just knowledge, with no action involved. But the Bible tells us that knowledge puffs up, but love builds up. Meaning that when we just have knowledge, if we're just left with knowledge and intellect, we can tend to become arrogant. We can tend to become proud. It can make us feel comfortable. I know something that other people don't know. But what the Bible is saying is that love trumps knowledge. Love trumps everything. That if you know everything about God, but you don't have love, then what are you really left with? What do you really have? And I think, unfortunately, even in the church, we've fallen into this lie that sometimes knowledge is important and impressive. And I admit that there's times when I'll meet someone and they just rattle off a lot of the Bible, and initially I'm just like, wow, that's really, really impressive. Like, you know the Bible really well. And so we've kind of established that the more that you know the Bible shows how spiritually mature you are, but the reality is that spiritual maturity is not synonymous with Bible knowledge. And that's one of your fill-ins in your handout. Spiritual maturity is not synonymous with Bible knowledge. Take the Pharisees' example. If you don't know anything about the Pharisees, these were guys that lived when Jesus walked the earth, and their role and responsibility was to teach people about God. They were supposed to teach people about what God said, and they were supposed to teach people and let them know that, hey, there's this coming king. There's this Savior that's going to come to Israel, okay? And we're going to let you know when he gets here. That was their role. That was the whole job of the Pharisees. They knew the Bible front and back. Everything that happened before Jesus in the Old Testament, they knew it all. Everything. Even reciting. You could say, recite this, and they'd had it memorized, and they would say it. So if there was anyone that was going to recognize that Jesus was the king and the Savior that came, it would have been the Pharisees. But what we see at the end of Jesus' life is the one that is crying out the most, the one that's demanding most for Jesus to go on the cross is the Pharisees, because they're not convinced who he says he is. They're actually threatened by him, and so they're the ones that are throwing him to the cross. So again, spiritual maturity cannot be synonymous with Bible knowledge. Spiritual maturity is synonymous with Bible application. It's synonymous with Bible application. Applying is better than knowing a lot. Doing something with that knowledge is the key. And that's where we're going to be here in the next few weeks. We're starting a new series called Working Wisdom. We're starting a new series called Working Wisdom. And we're going to be in this section of the Bible called Proverbs. And the Proverbs is all about wisdom. It has 31 chapters, and it has pretty much, if you've never read the book of Proverbs, they're very short sayings, much like tweets. They're 140 characters or less a lot of times, but they speak something insightful into our lives. They give a nugget of wisdom. But Proverbs isn't, they're not just like exclusive to the Bible. We have all sorts of different Proverbs. There's Chinese Proverbs. There's different Proverbs that we know that we hear throughout our day. Let me give you a few examples. The first one is a practical proverb. The early bird gets the worm. Right? We've heard that. The early bird gets the worm. Meaning, if you get up early and you work hard and you do the things, you're going to see the results that you want. There are warning proverbs out there, and if you know anything about gang culture, you know that snitches get stitches, right? You know, when you're in a gang, you can't snitch on your other gang members. If you do, snitches get stitches, all right? And then there's inspirational proverbs. Short little saying, if you are more fortunate than others, it is better to build a longer table than a taller fence. So those are examples of different proverbs that we hear. Short little sayings that give us wisdom, that give us instruction on where to go. Now the whole Bible, if you read throughout the Bible is full of wisdom, but the Proverbs is one whole section that is just dedicated solely to wisdom. And that's why for the next few weeks, we're going to be talking through different topics that Proverbs addresses. We're going to be talking about sex. We're going to be talking about communication. We're going to be talking about work ethic. We're going to be talking about money. This is covered over and over again throughout these 31 chapters in the book of Proverbs. But this week, I'm just focusing on why is wisdom important? Like, why should we seek wisdom? And Proverbs addresses that right at the beginning. In Proverbs chapter 1, it explains why the book was actually written. So in Proverbs chapter 1, starting in verse 1, it says, "These are the Proverbs of Solomon, David's son, king of Israel." And we'll just stop there. Solomon, if you know anything about him, he was labeled in the Bible as the wisest person to ever live. He actually asked God, God said, I'll give you anything in the world. Just ask me, I'll give you anything. And Solomon said, would you give me wisdom? Would you give me wisdom? And so Solomon was known as the wisest person to ever live. And so he wrote most of what we're going to read in the book of Proverbs. Then it continues. Their purpose is to teach people wisdom and discipline, to help them understand the insights of the wise. Their purpose is to teach people to live disciplined and successful lives. So this is the knowing knowledge part, the teaching and the understanding. But then it continues. So their purpose is to teach people to live disciplined and successful lives, to help them do what is right, just, and fair. Not to help them know what is right, just, and fair, but to actually do it, to put it into action. So if application is the goal and not simply knowledge, then the wisdom that God gives us in the Bible, we see that it should change us. Like something inside of us should change so we could take that action. So our goal should be this. Don't know just to know. Know to grow. That's a phrase that I hope just sinks into us. Don't know just to know. Know to grow. Something in us needs to change. Our goal isn't just to know the Bible. Our goal isn't just to know a bunch of things about God. Our goal is to actually know what God says and then actually do it. That's our goal as Christians. And here are a few different proverbs that say this. Proverbs chapter 9. It says, wisdom will multiply your days and add years to your life. So we can't take that literally. There's a lot of wise people that have had short lives. I think it's just really speaking to a quality of life. Wisdom gives us a quality of life. So then if you become wise, you will be the one to benefit. If you scorn wisdom, you will be the one to suffer. And that's just really pointing out that I think sometimes people know the knowledge, but they don't actually do. And at times, we suffer for it when we don't listen and do it. And then Proverbs 22 says this, a sensible person sees danger and takes cover, but the inexperienced keep going and are punished. So our goal is to seek wisdom. That's what this whole series is going to be about, seeking wisdom. And so something that I've been doing for, I would say, probably for about a month now, I don't do it every day, something that has been kind of a routine in my life is that in the morning, I'll get up, I'll go to our H2O office, and I have a journal, and I open up every day to a new page, and at the top of the page, I write words in bold letters, yesterday. And in that journal, I just start journaling about what happened yesterday. I start thinking through my day. What happened yesterday? I write down things that bothered me, things that I was excited about on ways that I noticed how somebody served me. I write down significant events that stick out to me that I really want to kind of think about even more. How did it make me feel? Was there a time I lost my anger and I needed to apologize to somebody that I didn't do the day before? So I've made this a ritual in my life most days. And so in your handout this morning, you received a yellow piece of paper. It's kind of a bookmarkish kind of thing. And on it, you'll notice the word yesterday on it, and then there's a verse from Proverbs, actually the verse right there in Proverbs 22. That's going to be our memory verse for the series. And again, if you memorize it, I don't want you just to use it as a piece of knowledge, but my prayer is that as you guys look over that verse over and over again, that verse turns into wisdom that God gives you for the future. And so this is where I would like to invite you in to join me in taking part in this yesterday journaling. And I'm asking for you to just give it a try. I hate journaling. I've tried it before. I really didn't enjoy it. But someone told me about this, or I read about this, and I started doing it. It gave me a specific focus. It gave me a focus on where I felt like I could write about yesterday. I could write about the things that happened, and I could remember. And it would help me process and learn and seek wisdom in areas like, well, I got angry yesterday at my son. I never apologized. I need to keep seeking wisdom on how to help me with my anger. Or my wife served me in a way, and I didn't thank her, but I'm really noticing it now. Man, I should text her. I should call her. I should love her in a way that lets her know that, hey, I saw that. I remember you doing that. Thank you for doing that. So I want you for the next week to just try this out. Give it a chance. And there's instructions on the back of this yellow card to let you know. Just find a notebook. Again, write the word yesterday. And just write for 15 to 20 minutes. What happened yesterday? What impressed you the day before? What things were hurting? What things went wrong? And this is why I want you to do this. This is why I think this is important. This is why I feel like this has helped me. It forces you to get in front of the mirror and examine yourself, which is something we don't do enough in our lives. And here's what I mean by this. In a different part of the Bible called James, it says this. It says, but don't just listen to God's word, meaning don't just have knowledge of what the Bible says. He says, you must do what it says. Otherwise, you were only fooling yourselves, for if you listen to the word and don't obey it, it is like glancing at your face in a mirror. You see yourself walk away and forget what you look like. So think about this for a second. Would any of us wake up in the morning, look in the mirror, see our hair going in every single direction? Somehow, as we were sleeping, we got Cheeto crumbs all over our face. Our nose is bleeding. And we look in the mirror and we say, looks good. And we grab our book bag and we're off to class, right? Maybe some of you would actually do that. But I would say most of us, we wouldn't do that. We would see something in the mirror. We would notice that, wow, that does not look right. Like, we need to fix up a little bit here before we walk out the door. Okay, that's what James is saying. Like, you can't just look in the mirror, see what you see, and then just forget about it and go about your day. But my worry and my concern, and this is why I started doing this journaling, is that every day, things are happening to us. Things are going on in our lives, and that when we stand in front of the mirror, we realize, wow, that was really painful yesterday. But we say, oh well, and we just walk away. And so when we do this journaling, we get ourselves in front of the mirror. We're able to exercise and realize, wow, these are things that I've been thinking about. These are things that have been worrying me. These are things that bring anxiety to me. And so we get ourselves in front of the mirror and we examine. Because then we can see where we need wisdom. We can see where God wants to teach us. We can start noticing patterns. As I've been doing this, I've noticed a pattern for like multiple days. 3 days in a row, I wrote, man, I'm really tired and I'm exhausted. And I started noticing, wow, I probably need some rest. Because I typically want to just do, 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 do. I love leading this church. I love being with my family. And oftentimes, it's just go, go, go. And you guys know that. You guys are students. You have jobs. You have a lot of responsibilities. And you go and you go. But oftentimes, you wake up in the morning, you're like, man, I am so exhausted. And I started noticing this pattern. I felt like God was giving me wisdom. Find areas of rest in your life that you can take. Find them. This will be good for you, I promise. And so this is what this does. It gets us in front of the mirror. It helps us examine our lives. And so I want to leave you with one last thing, and this is important. Because sometimes when we get in front of the mirror and we start examining our life, there's a lot of us, we do not like what we see. That's why we avoid the mirror. That's why we avoid going to it. We have a lot of shame, anxiety, guilt, hurt, and pain. And it's hard. But I want to leave you with the best piece of wisdom that there is in the Bible, and it doesn't come from the book of Proverbs. It comes from 1 Timothy chapter 1. It says this, "This is a trustworthy saying, and everyone should accept it. Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners." Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. That all that shame and that guilt and that hurt and that pain that we experience and we feel as we examine our lives, that's exactly why he came. He came for the sin that you and I deal with every day, the sin of others, the sin of ourselves. He came so that he could take the punishment for that sin. He came into the world so that we don't just have to know about that. That's the most important thing that I want to leave you guys with, is I don't want you just to know that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. I want you to know so you can grow, so you can be changed. If you've given your life to Christ, if you've believed that Jesus is the answer for our sin, if you've believed that Jesus is the answer for our guiding wisdom, that he can take care of it all, even if there's a lot of questions in your mind about what that means, if you believe that, we know that. It's awesome. If you're here this morning and you really don't know what that looks like, or you feel like you know to know, if you feel like you just know and have information, yeah, I've always known that Jesus died for the sins of the world. But you've noticed that it hasn't really changed you. It hasn't helped you grow. It hasn't been something where you go back to often and you say, God, I need your help. I would ask that this would be the semester that you start understanding that knowledge of what Jesus came to do, that it now becomes wisdom, that it becomes practical, it becomes a to-do, it becomes something that becomes more a part of your life. And that's what our prayer is. Our prayer is that we wouldn't just get done with this series and we've given you some different things that you can work on and make your life a little bit better, although we hope that that happens and we'll thank God that that happens. We hope more than anything that you guys know and grow in your understanding of who God is in your life and the way that Christ came into the world to save sinners. And so I'm excited for the next few weeks as we kind of get a little bit more specific into these different topics. And so I want to just end and pray with you guys, and then the band will come up and we'll sing a few more songs. God, I thank you that you want to know us. God, that you want to have a personal relationship with us. And God, that when we have that wisdom, that when we have that understanding, God, our life can change. Would this be a semester of change? Would this be a semester where we get to learn new things and we get to learn more about you? And God, just even imagine what that would look like. How if our lives changed so much, what would that look like for our church? What would that look like for this campus? If we just went beyond knowing things about you to actually doing them. Not just knowing a bunch of the Bible, not just knowing some spiritual truth, but actually doing it. Imagine, what would that look like? I think so many radical, amazing things would happen in our lives and on this campus if that was the case. So God, help us, guide us, and we thank you that your love is never-ending. It is relentless, just like the song we sang earlier. God, we thank you for that relentless love, and we pray that we would just know that more and more every day. Amen.
You guys stand and